I'm Deirdre Kennedy with podtech.net. We're speaking with Robert Hillard, Managing Director and Global Solution Leader, Information Management, with Bearing Point. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We're talking about Mike 2.0. Mike, M-I-K-E, stands for Methodology for an Integrated Knowledge Environment. First of all, Robert, can you tell us what Mike 2.0 actually is?
Yes, it's a information management approach, framework, and methodology. Bearing Point has worked for many, many years on our approaches to data and information management. Mike 2.0 is the culmination of those efforts launched into an open source and Web 2.0 world.
Well, on Bearing Point's site, there's language that says that Mike 2.0 is turning what today is a threat into an opportunity. Can you elaborate on how sharing information in this way converts a threat into an opportunity?
You know, information over the last few years in the compliance-driven world that we've all found ourselves in has been seen as something with trepidation, something of fear. So we've talked a lot about Basel II, Sarbanes-Oxley, now things like JSOX, MiFID in Europe. And these things have all been very, very information-dependent, regulatory, compliance-driven initiatives. And people have looked at the information they hold as potentially containing some type of threat to the running of their organization. And information management issues have been about trying to manage that threat. What we're now saying is, as we come out of that period of intense regulation, we've learned a lot of lessons. We know how to control and manage complex information. But let's try and pivot and turn that information to our advantage. It is a major economic asset to every organization, and it should be treated as an economic asset and leveraged to the maximum competitive advantage.
I think what's interesting is that it's sort of counterintuitive. I mean, Bearing Point has recently made a large donation of information management IP to open source. And surely, isn't this the exact opposite of the traditional consulting model?
It is. It actually took a lot of thinking on behalf of Bearing Point. It wasn't something we did at all trivially. We thought long and hard about what the challenges are in the information management field. There are a number of things that we noted. First of all, it has to be said that information management is new. It's not been around for very long at all. In fact, you can trace the beginnings of our field, our profession, to around about 1990 when the cost of storage dropped to about $1 per megabyte. And that was a pretty critical point because prior to that time, IT had stored just enough information to complete an individual transaction. You can trace back to about 1990 when systems changed and we started storing a lot of ancillary data about transactions, about interactions that you had with customers, with staff, with internal processes. And that's really important because from 1990, the amount of information has grown within organizations exponentially. What's also happened, and it's quite an interesting exercise, if you go and look at market-facing reports, such as annual reports from the 1980s, you'll find that the metric information provided within those reports is almost exclusively sourced from ledger group financial sources. If you look at those same market-facing reports now, you'll find that nearly half of the information provided in the average report is actually sourced from non-ledger locations within the organization. And now that's actually quite a threat because it means that we're providing commercial information, which investors will make decisions based upon, from sources that do not have the same controls around them that our ledger-based sources have. We all know exactly how to control the information within the group financials. There's an audit process and there's supervision through the board and through the audit subcommittee or its equivalent. For the non-ledger sources, there are almost no standards that are accepted for even things as simple as counting how many customers you have, your penetration, your market share, those types of things. Now, at the same time, that volume of information is incredibly valuable to organisations as they try and make really critical business decisions. Now, all of those things come together, and we say if it's a new profession and it's something that most organisations don't have a handle on, what's the obstacle to undertaking good information management processes? What's the obstacle to some of the larger projects that we want to undertake? And when we looked at it, we found that our biggest competitive issue was not Bearing Point's competitors by any means. Our biggest issue was do nothing. Organisations would run right up to the edge of the water, look at the opportunity. They would be convinced of the opportunity that their information held, but then they would be afraid to put their feet in the water. And we felt very strongly that by taking our intellectual property and putting it under an open source contract, and making it available easily and to all, would have two effects. One of which would be to encourage organizations to use it early on in their processes because there's no commercial barrier to its leverage. And number two would encourage us and our peers to come up with some of those standards that organizations are so evidently crying out for, to make it easy to deal with non-ledger information in the same way as our accounting cousins are able to deal so effectively and with so many standards around the ledger group financial type data.
Can you clear up for us once and for all, who should own the information in an organization?
The board. It really is very, very simple. Information within an organization that is used to make critical decisions has to belong to the most senior governance body within the enterprise. It's not good enough to simply say information that's non-ledger is buried somewhere within the enterprise and the board just worries about financial data. It has to start from the board through a set of governance principles, through executive management, and then into senior stakeholders across each of the lines of business.
You have said that existing methods of managing complex information, whether structured or unstructured, are seriously flawed. So why do you say that?
Information management has a reputation for having a less than stellar success record. I think that everybody listening to this recording would know of examples of projects such as data warehouses, content repositories that have promised big things, promised to transform the enterprise, promised to make information readily available to everybody, and have failed to live up to that promise, have failed to provide the return on investment that was in the original business case. The techniques that we use to manage information are evolving very, very rapidly. But in the face of some of those failures, there's a tendency to shy away from the complexity of the information and to try and simplify down the business problem. Now, we need to be very, very business focused in how we provide information and data to our stakeholder community. We need to provide very, very business focused solutions. But we're not serving our stakeholders well if we don't recognize the complexity that's baked into the content that we're serving up. And in fact, it's actually that complexity which provides the competitive opportunity. Information is complex, and we need to recognize that complexity because it's within the... Sorry, let me start that again. Information is complex. We need to recognize that complexity and embrace it because it's within that complexity that the competitive opportunity sits. When we try to oversimplify information management, we think that we might be getting around some of the past failures that we've had in serving up information to end users and lines of business. But in fact, we're losing the competitive opportunity. We're losing the differentiation. We need to supply the data that's needed for an individual business problem in a very business-focused way, but with sophisticated and mathematically complete models that will enable those lines of business to fully leverage the content and to apply it to real business problems in realistic and manageable ways.
Well, what are some of the new and exciting developments in this field?
Sure. If you go back, let's start off perhaps with the structured data side of things. In the past, we've managed, over the last 30 years, we've managed structured data primarily using relational data models. And we serve those up. It actually dates back 37 years to techniques that were originally authored by Ted Codd. Now, those techniques have barely advanced in the 37 years since they were invented. They describe how we serve up information using using normalization techniques and the entity relationship model. That's the foundation of virtually every solution for a structured data. Every data warehouse out there has a relational model of some kind, of some form, sitting underneath it. More recently, we're recognizing the limitations of a relational model. Now, we're not yet at the point of having a replacement for it. But what we do have in recognizing the limitations of a network of information that has an enormous number of steps in it is that we can start to develop mathematical techniques for working around those limitations. And let me just explain perhaps or draw some parallels that'll help listeners understand why we say the traditional relational model has major limitations. If I look at most mature, in fact, if I look at every mature network that we deal with in business or, in fact, in society, I see what we call a logarithmic relationship between sophistication of a transaction and the number of steps I need to perform within that transaction. A simple example, if I pick up my phone and I call someone just down the corridor, I make my telephone call. My call goes to an exchange. It's processed. It perhaps goes to another exchange and again flows down to the person I'm calling. So it's gone through one, two, three, maybe four steps at the most. At the same time, if I pick up my phone and I call somebody on the geographically opposite side of the world, I'm now performing the most complex telephony transaction that I could perform, and my phone call would go out to an exchange, to one or two or maybe three other exchanges, and then complete to my targets, to my call targets. Now, in that case, I've maybe done five, six, or seven steps in completing the transaction. So I've gone from the simplest to the most complex telephony transaction, and yet the number of steps involved is logarithmic. It has not increased dramatically. If I look inside social networks, we, of course, all know about 6 degrees of separation. Everybody listening to this recording would know each other through a relatively small number of social steps. We just don't always know what those steps are. We look within organizational hierarchies. Again, generally they are structured in such a way that it's a small number of steps for people to link to each other across the organization. We look within good control structures, good business controls. Again, those business controls are designed to involve the least number of steps to measure the completeness or the control around an individual and complete transaction, regardless of how complex that transaction becomes. Now, let's put all those things to one side and let's look at the content of our structured data warehouses for a moment. Those data warehouses have data models. The data model is nothing more than a series of entities which have a relationship to each other, which are just a network of data. Now, if I look at the relationship between two customers who might be part of the same household, I probably have to go from one customer to a householding entity to another customer. So I do two steps, which is a very relatively straightforward, maybe three steps, relatively straightforward activity. If I look within the average data model and I say, now I want to understand the relationship between customer and staff, I might have to do 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 steps within the data model. It gets worse as we start to look at the relationship between various products. Typically, we find we have to go through 20 or 30 steps. And it gets so extreme that often we find that there are literally hundreds of steps involved in performing certain complex transactions within those data models. At worst, sometimes when we look across enterprise data, we find that there's more than 1,000 steps required to navigate the data. What that tells us is that the data has got itself buried in a process which is completely unnavigatable, which is not stable and does not behave in the same way as data, as other business activities that have matured over a period of time. So we don't have the answers, but we know that's the challenge that we have to solve.
And hence the Mike 2.0 solution for solving these issues.
That's right. Mike 2.0 is geared around using Web 2.0 techniques in a collaborative environment to help solve the major challenges of information management, be they taxonomies or unstructured information or data models for structured information. It's a series of techniques that are designed to help simplify the complexity.
For listeners who would like more information about Mike 2.0, where can they go on the web?
There's two URLs I'd like to point listeners to. First of all, to the Bearing Point Initiative. I direct listeners to www.bearingpoint.com/know-more. That's spelled K-N-O-W-M-O-R-E. At that site, you'll find a series of tools, explanations for some of the things we've talked about today, and links to our open source initiative. Now, the open source initiative is the second link, which is www.openmethodology.org. And I'd very much like to encourage everybody who is listening to this recording to take the time to not only look at that open source initiative, but actually to make a contribution. The information management, I hope I've managed to convince listeners that information management is critical to the success of organizations. The next step is information management is only going to be successful as professionals take part and grow out the knowledge base that we have.
Well, Robert, it's been great talking to you today.
Thank you very much for the time.
We've been speaking with Robert Hillard, Managing Director and Global Solution Leader, Information Management with Bearing Point. I'm Deirdre Kennedy with PodTech.net.